Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
One of the best weeks on the sports calendar, I think we all agree. Maybe the best, Bob. Is there a better period of time in American sports than the first weekend of the tournament, the first 2 days? I don't think so.
It's certainly right up there. A lot of anticipation, and I think it's because a lot of people do get involved, even those who don't know a lot about basketball. It's a fun activity. You could watch and go to work on your brackets.
Man. I mean, I can't.
It would be
wait.
Helpful. The Penguins were in the race, you know, meaningful hockey games going on simultaneously, the start of baseball season, all that together. But
well, there are many storylines here. One of which, of course, is Robert Morris headed to Cleveland to face Alabama. And our friend Austin Bechtold, the man to my left, tweeted out right away, RMU will give Alabama a really good game. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they upset the Crimson Tide.
That's right.
Now, I would be somewhere in a land far beyond surprised if RMU upsets the team that just beat the number one seed in the whole tournament
week. That number one seed that's also lost 3 out of 4 and is kind of reeling going into the NCAA tournament right now.
The number one overall seed in the tournament last week. You wouldn't be surprised if RMU wins?
No, I would not. Now, I'm not going to predict RMU in my bracket to beat Alabama. I'm not going to do that. But what I have seen, and I've seen it up close and personal over the last couple of years covering the tournament, I was there for that Kentucky game against Oakland when Jack Golke went off. Trey Townsend had a great game, and Oakland stunned John Calipari in his last game at Kentucky here in Pittsburgh. I've covered the tournament when on the Jumbotron in Greensboro, we saw FDU take down Purdue, and I feel like...
No, I know. We've seen all the tournaments in NCAA basketball over the years. I definitely get that, but specific to this game...
Specific to RMU...
I'm not seeing it. The only teams that Alabama has lost to, every one of their losses this year was to an NCAA tournament team. Every single one.
Yeah, RMU's a tournament team, too. I mean, I feel like them... And the way that they can consistently play as a unit and as a team. And they don't depend on just one guy. Where a lot of teams, it's one guy gets hot, that carries the boat for them, that carries the ship. RMU is a really good collective. And also, if you're going to pull off one of these upsets, you need a really good coach. And I think Andy Toole is that. So that's my explanation as to why I think they can do it. I'm not going to place money on them doing it right now, no doubt about it.
No, I hear you.
But I wouldn't rule it out.
Are you betting on them to cover 22.5?
Yes.
Okay. Bob, I hear what he's saying. I love Andy Tools also, and I've watched RMU, and I think that they've had a hell of a year. But if they win this game, I am going to be stunned to silence. You?
Yes. I look at what Alabama's been doing, what they have done. It's just not designed to be a close game. Will they cover 22.5 points? A lot of points. I think Robert Morris is a very good team that plays well together as a team. But I think the disparity in talent will become apparent the longer that game goes on. So it may be close for a while, but I think in the end, Alabama will pull away. I don't think they'll win by 22.5 or whatever, but they'll certainly win.
Well, that's one story. There are many others, including the one that got Crowley's goat this morning. And by the way,
that's a big one.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And that is West Virginia being left out of the tournament, along with Indiana and the likes of North Carolina. And I think Texas is another one that people are screaming about, Bob. But let's focus on North Carolina in and West Virginia out. What do we make of this? Joe Lenardi says they just flat out got it wrong. And then you throw in the fact. Now, he doesn't. Lenardi says there was absolutely no collusion, and it's not suspicious that the committee chair doubles as North Carolina's AD and gets $100,000 out of this. It sounds slightly fishy to me.
That sounds fishy when you put all that together.
What do you make of that? All of it.
Well, I think West Virginia got jobbed big time. I think if you look, and Texas is a team that doesn't deserve to be in. I agree with that. North Carolina doesn't deserve to be in. But they both did get in, and West Virginia didn't get in. And if you're going to tell me that quad one wins are so important, which is what that tournament committee tells you time and time again, then you have no choice but to put West Virginia in. I don't care what their overall record is. They did what you asked them to do, which is winning against the third team in the country, Gonzaga, winning against the second team in the country, Iowa State at the time, and three more top 25 wins. They've done all of that. Yeah, they had some ugly losses. Did that taint their resume? They got blown out by Pitt early in the season, and then their loss to Colorado in the tournament really hampered them, I guess. They still should have been in. And I don't like the fact that these ADs get involved to the point where, you know, there should not be. He should have, if anything, I would have, as North Carolina's athletic director, kind of recused myself. Say, you know what, I don't, you guys determine what you think here. I'm ahead of this committee too, but I want to hear what you guys think. And if you agree that North Carolina shouldn't be in, then they shouldn't be in.
Twinner circle? What do you think of all this?
Well, the North Carolina
now,
AD
have,
to
you
that.
You have to recuse yourself, and I don't mean this in a bad way.
No, I
you're
get
a bit big North Carolina fan,
yeah,
correct?
I'm just North Carolina basketball, yeah.
Okay.
Since I was young, like the Heels, like a lot of my friends, and I've actually bonded over that. So, Bob, to the point of that, and I mean, you can take it for what it's worth, the North Carolina AD is not in the room for those conversations. What does that really mean? How much influence is still there? I'm sure it's big. I fully agree with everyone that West Virginia should be in the tournament. No doubt they should be in. My gripe is more with Texas. This 14th team out of 16 to make the NCAA tournament, North Carolina has a better KenPom rating than them. West Virginia also has a better KenPom rating than them. Same thing with strength of schedule. If you look at the net rankings, also better. Texas has a better net ranking than West Virginia does. San Diego State, too, I think you can make an argument. WVU definitely should have been in, but I do feel like that loss to Colorado significantly hurt them in the Big 12 tournament.
Hold on. Texas has 7 quad one wins, which means the highest quality of win.
And North Carolina getting in means that quad one wins don't matter as much as some of the other traditional metrics.
Hold on. Let me finish my thought. Texas has 7 quad one wins. North Carolina has one.
That's the one
quad one win out of 13 attempts. One out of 13.
Right. Every time they played one of those teams, they lost. And that includes everyone in the tournament that they ran against. I think they were 2-9 against tournament teams.
Joe Lenardi says that fact, one out of 13 in quad one games, is, quote, disqualifying to me.
Well, then how does it end up happening that they get in? I'd like to hear the explanation
because
for
of
it.
Their combined, he says, because of their combined quad one and two wins, that they have 10. So does Texas, by the way.
So they're stretching it. In
they're
other
stretching
words.
It to say, okay, you still have a bunch of quality wins if we pop quad two in there.
Yeah, they were undefeated in quad two games this year. North Carolina was.
Great. They were 1-13 in quad one.
Look, I'm surprised they got in. Like, I did not expect North Carolina to get into the tournament. And I didn't think West Virginia was even on the bubble at this point. I mean, a lot of bracketologists had them as a team definitely with a bye, potentially even looking at a 9 seed or a 10 seed. But the SEC should, I'm sorry, no conference should get 14 teams into the tournament. I mean, it's a strong conference, but it's not that strong of a conference.
Texas loses
15 games in a season. They should get in at 19-15. Get out of here. It's ridiculous.
What about
why is that ridiculous?
Just ridiculous.
Jay Bill has just called this the most powerful basketball conference ever formed.
I have the clip if you want me to play it.
Yes, I would like that. Limits. Thank you.
Here it is on the Feinbaum Show.
I have never seen anything remotely like what we're seeing in the Southeastern Conference this year. The non-conference success that I think you referenced a little bit earlier has not been seen since the ACC in the mid-1980s. That's so long ago. I played in the league back then. But the biggest difference in comparing those two is the ACC was 8 teams then. It's a lot easier to have 8 really good teams than it is to have 16 really good teams. And the SEC has top to bottom the best league in the country by far. They're blowing away every other conference with the numbers that they've put up this year. And it's going to.
There you go. So I'm not sure where you're coming from, Limits. The SEC's non-conference winning percentage was, get ready for it, 889. The last time any conference was that good in non-league play was the ACC in 03-04. And it wasn't, and that was still well below this. The SEC's 30-4 against the ACC this year, 14-2 against the Big 12, and 10-9 against the Big 10. Bob, I have zero problem with 14 teams from that league in the conference.
I have one problem with Texas. That's the only problem I have. But I understand, competing in that conference, what it's like. So,
at least Texas had the 7 quad one wins that we were talking about. North Carolina doesn't have.
But I still think overall, if I had to make a choice, North Carolina would be the first team out, West Virginia would be in. If I had another team, it would be those two teams, Texas and North Carolina. You could have made a case they didn't deserve to be in at the expense of West Virginia. But if you look at the ACC, I don't see any other teams that have a case at all other than the 4 they'd picked. And that used to be the conference that they would get 9, 10 teams.
So you'd be good with 13 SEC teams.
Yeah. I don't care what conference you if you're good, you can determine.
When I hear a guy like Billis say it's the most powerful basketball conference ever formed,
that's saying something.
That speaks to me.
Because there was a time when that was never in the conversation. It was Big Ten, it was Pac 10 back in the day, and it was ACC. And before then, Big Eight. You never heard SECs. Now all of a sudden, it has become a really good basketball conference.
Limits, why do you think, let's say it was 13. You obviously thought that would have been too many. Why?
No, I think 13 would have been fine.
Wait, so 14 is outrageous, but 13's fine?
Yeah, I just don't think that Texas was a team that is worthy of the tournament. Losing 6 out of their last 10, and basically what I think got them in was beating Texas A&M in their conference tournament. Like, I don't think that overall body of work.
But you're okay with 13.
Yeah, because, I really don't at this point. 12 would have been a better number for me in putting West Virginia in. And, I'm not going to make the argument for San Diego State or whoever some of these other teams were, UC Irvine, for making it over Texas at that point.
Well, here's the thing with the SEC compared to the ACC, for example. And there was a great story. I think it was in ESPN. Why has this happened? And as Bill has said, this started about 8 years ago. You had Greg Sankey come in. You had him hire Mike Trangisi as one of his consultants for that league. And they basically went out and bought a league, which is good for them. They started with the coaches, and now it's paying players. They're just above the grade here, Bob. I read where half of the 12 highest paid coaches in college basketball are in the SEC. And their commitment as far as paying players is way above a lot of other leagues, including the ACC. So I don't think it's a huge mystery how the SEC got here, right?
No, when you get good coaches the way they have. And a lot of these guys found themselves on the outs in many areas, and they came back and have kind of rejuvenated their careers, Bruce Pearl being one of them. I really think jumping out into another conference, the Big East, Rick Pitino is on a roll like nobody's business. I mean, what he's done at St. John's,
They're
a 2-seed, and I could make a case that they could win the whole thing the way they are playing right now. So if you have good coaches, guys who have history, and he's a Hall of Fame coach already, I wouldn't be surprised that you would go out and put together rosters in this competitive NIL world that favor that coach.
I mean, that's what you have to do. They have great coaches that they're paying a bunch of money to. And then, as Bruce Pearl said, everybody up and down the league is paying for players. But that could change shortly from what I see here, Bob, in that there's going to be somewhat of a salary cap on this stuff with this $20 million that you can commit to your athletes any way you see fit, right?
Yes, they need some kind of structure here.
And the ACC, according to opendoors.com, is set to spend more per school on men's basketball than anybody but the Big East. So this could actually help the ACC. Also, starting next year, the ACC has the number 3, number 7, number 8 prospects in the ESPN's top 100 joining their schools. So we could see a correction. But for now, the SEC is king in a big way.
Well, the key word you say there is correction. It can happen overnight. All you need to do is look at Louisville, where they were, where they are.
And how'd they get there.
And how they get there. And how they got there was hiring a good up-and-coming coach. And they went to transfers and money. And they bought a lot of money. Arkansas got in. John Calipari got in. How did he do it? He brought in guys who he had to pay, and he went to some big-time boosters in the Razorback program. They came up with the cash, he came up with the players, and now they're in the tournament.
Well, the same thing with Rick Pitino.
Well, certainly, that's the way it goes.
There's no argument that Rick Pitino's a great coach, right, that they're paying. Mm-hmm. But I think St. John's MVP might be their billionaire backer that's buying players. I think he has a lot to do with it.
Okay, well, then you better find one if you're Pitt.
Well, that brings us to Pitt, doesn't it? And Jeff Capel has not been shy about placing this on not enough money for players. Right. He was asked early in his tenure. He was asked the day, I think, Allen Green was hired as AD. Somebody said, hey, Jeff, if you could ask Allen for one thing, like one thing, what would it be? Money. Money. So where does this leave Pitt? Where does this whole carousel leave Pitt? I would imagine the $20 million cap per school would be helpful. I just said it'll be helpful to the ACC, so therefore it would be helpful to Pitt.
Right. You just need a level playing field when it comes to that. If you're going to go out and get the richest guy in the state that you're in, okay, fine. You have a huge advantage, like the Yankees versus the Pirates or anyone else in that. You got to find people who are willing to do this.
Right.
Not a lot of people are the way it is set up right now, because you're playing your money goes straight to a player. This way, at least, it still would be considered a program. It's up to them to decide how they disperse it. Right now, you know, they're saying, hey, we have this guy. He's the number one rated guy. Give me $10 million to go get him. Okay, well, that's not the way it should be.
No, but that's the way it is.
I know.
Although, again, if there's somewhat of a cap. See, the cap doesn't apply then, I don't think, to NIL outside of the cap, correct?
Yeah, but I still need to hear what that.
But
that has to be defined more. And
well, I think we've reached an era where no matter how they try to define it, you're going to have people, whoever it might be, dealerships, things like that, finding ways to funnel guys' money to bring them to your school, right?
Yes.
Now, for everybody out there, when we talk about St. John's and Rick Pitino, Mike Riepoll is the guy you should be talking about, as great as Pitino is of a coach. As the New York Times write, he has emerged as one of the most striking examples of how money is reshaping college basketball. This dude had a falling out. He's a billionaire, had a falling out with the program. But he was part of the reason Pitino came in and took over. And now he's basically funding their ability to get players. And as they say, they're compensating players like a powerhouse program. You got to find your guy, your sugar daddy, Bob. Will you fund Pitt basketball?
No, I would not be able to help them in that regard. They've got to have some sugar daddy somewhere in that, you know. It's been such a great school for medicine and people who have gone on to big careers. I don't know if they're interested in basketball or if they'd rather give the money to something else.
Front page of the New York Times. Front page from Friday. New MVP at St. John's, a 56-year-old billionaire. That's the headline. And they're showing somebody taking a foul shot in a game, and somebody's got a fat head of this guy's face behind the basket. That's what you need.
That's what it is. And then it's up to you to go and get the guys who you're going to spend the money on.
Right.
But you also have to coach him. And that's why I wanted to talk about these coaches, because they're very important to it. You can have the best. Just because you have the best players doesn't mean you'll have the best team.
But you got to pay for coaches, too.
Right. And their salaries are not going backwards. They're going higher. So it's a tough time. I don't know what Pitt does moving forward here.
I mean, that's the story. It's how, as the Wall Street Journal termed it in another headline, how a football conference took over college basketball. I think Trangisi's advice was use football to your advantage here and start bringing in coaches and stop making excuses and start paying and winning. And that's exactly what they've done. And that was a smart move to bring him in as a consultant, I think, as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, he has a lot of experience in how you can transform a league. So, man, they have. They've become the best basketball. I never thought I'd say that, just because I've never said it before, ever. It's always been other conferences. But that when you get the kind of coaching they have in their conference, you're gonna end up with some pretty good stuff.
And when we say that, we mean Nate Oates. We mean Calipari. We mean Bruce Pearl. We mean Mike White of the Post-Gazette. We mean Mark Pope. We mean Chris Beard, Rick Barnes.
Right. All of them have long histories, long resumes.
Right.
Of winning.
Yes. I think 9 of the coaches in the SEC have taken a team to the Elite Eight, which is all you need to know.
And when you have that advantage and that resume, players are attracted to that. They've seen it. They know that can be them potentially. So
the other side of Pitt, however, Bob, is that within the ACC, they haven't been at that huge of a disadvantage. And then the question, see, when Capel talks so much about money, sometimes I start to get the idea of, wait, is he saying that coaching's not a problem here? Like, it's buy us better players within the confines of the ACC. Did they target the right players, and did he do a good enough job with those? Did he spend the money the way it should be spent? It's kind of like the Pirates.
At the beginning of the year, you looked at it and said 12-2. They're doing a good job, and they're coaching the guys up. And they may not have the best payroll, but they have. And then they completely fell apart.
And the Dunn injury didn't help. I get it, but you know that's one guy.
But they didn't really address, other than Cam Corn, they don't have much in terms of big guys, you know, in the paint. Centers who can actually dominate or play to a point where they protect the rim, any of that. So they need more of that. They have some guards, and I'm not so sure they're going to return, though. I wonder about Jalen Lowe.
Well, that's always the question, right? Limits, are you pumped for the Duquesne-Pitt football opener, August 30th?
Yes.
Are you giving Duquesne a shot like you are Robert Morris here?
I have a lot of friends. I have actually some friends that are on that team, but so I would hate to say no, but no.
What do you think the point spread will be in that game, Bob? 35.5?
I don't know. I don't know if Pitt's going to be that good to give them that many points. It'll be a big number. I don't think it'll go that high.
They should have the game at Art Rooney Field at Duquesne. They could sell it out, Bob.
Yeah, that would be good. That's a nice facility, too.
The second game is against Central Michigan. So Pitt should be 2-0 going into West Virginia. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Actually, I do. I tried to pull up Pitt's basketball schedule, and up came their football schedule. And it interests me. And I think in some way, do you think if Allen Green, if they gave him the freedom to move on from coaches if he wanted, that he would have moved on already or would after the season from either Capel or Narduzzi? Or both.
Very well could have. I don't know if he would have, just because he's new. He may have wanted to see a whole year beyond this year.
Yeah.
But I think, it wouldn't have been, we're stuck till 2030. If there is a time, it may not be now, maybe next year. If they don't see results, it could be one of those, okay, show me. This is a show me year for you guys. I need to see results.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette says, probably not realistic given the buyouts until after the 27 seasons.
That's because it minimizes, it gets less and less over if you wait. I think that had something to do with Neil Brown getting an extra year to West Virginia.
Of course, yeah.
But that's the wrong reason to keep guys, because someone made a mistake in how much they paid them.
Well, Pitt is also experiencing some challenges financially elsewhere.
Right.
Are they not?
Yes, it all
the
comes
Victory
back.
Heights project?
Absolutely.
So not only would you have to pay these buyouts or pay Capel his contract, whatever it is with him if you wanted to move on from him, then sticking to the theme we were just on with how you attract good new coaches, you'd be paying these guys for 3 or 4 years to not coach. Plus, you'd have to pay a new coach, hopefully a high-profile one, who you think could turn things around. It's just, unless you find your version of the St. John's billionaire, it doesn't seem all that likely they're moving on from anybody.
And this is also why it's, to me, the days of giving these guys these long extensions should be over.
Yes.
Now, I realize if you're going to attract a big name, you may have to do more. But, quite frankly, all due respect to Narduzzi and Capel, but what did they do to earn such significantly long-term extensions?
Yes.
I don't think you need to do that today, because players can leave as they want to. They don't have to wait around, or you don't have to tell them, well, our coach is signed for 7 more years. You know he's not going anywhere. Well, they may say, good, I am. So it doesn't matter.
Bob, I really like that new jingle. I want to see ya in a Monroeville Kia.
We want to see ya in a Monroeville Kia.
Can you harmonize? I can't go that high.
You and I could harmonize. No, let's do the male version
can't
of that.
Can't do it.
They say, we want to see ya.
We want to see ya in a Monroeville Kia.
We want to see ya in a Monroeville Kia. The key there is in a Monroeville. You have to say that very, practice that.
In a Monroeville.
There you go. Ready?
It won't sound good.
We want to see ya in a Monroeville Kia. 1, 2, 3. We want to see ya in a Monroeville Kia.
They want to see ya in a Monroeville Kia.
No.
At least Bob gave it a try. I really like that one, Bob.
Jingles do work.
Yeah, they do. What are your favorites in fan history? Any come to mind?
In fan history?
Even if they're not jingles, they're just catchphrases. One of my favorites is, what's the guy who says?
Joe liked Granger.
Yeah, that guy.
For the ones who get it done.
I like that one, too.
Granger.
I
mean, it's, for the ones who get it done. Remember that guy, Bob?
For a while, yeah.
He
you
also
know who
likes,
else I liked? I liked.
This is Ron Trzynski from the original Mattress Factory.
This is Ron Trzynski of the original Mattress Factory. Remember that one, Bob?
I do. It works.
And there was one other one. Hot dog. Well, no, that was from Hey Arnold. Did you watch the show Hey Arnold?
I think the Shenderovichs have a pretty good one.
They do.
For them.
Yeah. There's many good ones out there. You won't. Oh, this one was, you won't believe how happy your dog will be. Do you remember that one, Bob? I don't even know who that was for. You should be a voice on. Are you a voice on commercials? I mean, other than the ones you do as endorsements, like do you do voice work? You should be in movies with your voice.
One day, like
those animated movies.
You know what I've done? A lot of out of the blue, just people will say, "Hey, can you do a voicemail message for me on my phone?"
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I like doing.
And you
stuff
should be
like
you
that.
Should be on things like Finding Nemo. You should be the you should be the grandfather fish or something. You should.
A grandfather fish.
That.
Nemo, where are you? You're supposed to be home by now. What are you doing with those other fishies?
Limits. Am I right about this?
I think Bob should be on my voicemail. Bob, would you like to do that?
Yeah, why don't you give his voicemail? That would be great. A great treat for Limits.
Hello, you have reached Austin, better known by some as City Limits. Please leave a message at the beep.
He's too busy defending North Carolina, so he can't get back to you right now, but he will soon after North Carolina gets slaughtered in their play-in game.
They're going to win the play-in game, and then they're going to win their first-round game, and then they're going to lose to Iowa State.
Surely, Bob, you've had opportunities to do voiceover work like that.
Not really. I haven't really pursued it.
In cartoons and things?
No,
I'm shocked
that
by that.
I would like to be the grandfather of Nemo.
You would be great at that.
Grandfather of Nemo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a great job for you, Bob.
An old fish can barely move underwater.
You can't teach an old fish new tricks, Bob. Although in your case, you could. And I'm shocked that that hasn't already happened. Anywho, going back to the brackets here. What else stands out to you? We could see a Pitino-Calipari matchup at some point early in the tournament. Who are you guys picking to win it all?
That would be interesting, Pitino and Calipari. That would be round two, right?
Yes, it would.
They have Bill Self and Calipari in round one.
He's very self-aware,
7-10.
Yes, exactly. That's a good coaching matchup. Who's What about Dan Hurley? What about him?
Dan Hurley's...
What about him the other day, by the way?
I know you think he's a long shot or whatever. I wouldn't classify him as a dark horse. They've won back-to-back. They're number eight. Eight seeds are dangerous.
Did you see their game the other day? I think, who'd they play in the final? Who was it, or the semis? It was Creighton, right?
Yeah, Creighton's a good team, too.
And the kid dunked with 3 seconds left in a game that was over. And UConn and Hurley, of all people, took exception to that? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they're the ones who normally have applied that sort of logic to their games. And now when it goes against you...
I mean, this guy is front and center in every game. He becomes a spectacle, Hurley. So now somebody beats you and they want to do a fancy dunk to put an exclamation point on it? Tough crap.
Yep.
Is what I say to that.
No, I agree. But I think they can be a dangerous team in there. We'll see how they do. But
Limits, who's your national champion? West Virginia, even though they're not in it, that's Crowley's.
Robert Morris. I still think, despite the injuries, just how well they played in the tournament, I like Duke right now to win it all.
Do you think Cooper Flagg will be healthy?
He said so.
Reports are saying he will.
That he's going to play. So.
Well, he's going to play is different than he's healthy. I'm a little worried about
that. But I would think that he won't be 100%, of course. But, you know, 90% of him is still better than most. While I like Duke, too, I also, if I'm going to pick another team that I really think is on a roll, Florida. Florida out of that conference is playing very good basketball. They just beat Tennessee again, two seed. Or no, they're a one seed. Of the two seeds, who do you like? I like St. John's. I think St. John's could do it.
I don't know. I don't know if the two seeds in front of me. I always root for Houston because of my childhood rooting for Phi Slamma Jamma. I have an affinity for that program. Do you remember that team, Bob? How many guys from Phi Slamma Jamma can you name off the top of your head?
Phi Slamma Jamma.
Clyde Drexler.
Yeah, Clyde was terrific.
Akeem the Dream.
Clyde the Glide. Elijah Wan. Who was the third guy?
Michael Young, lefty. He used to shoot from the corner
all the time. Michael Young, I forgot about him.
The Celtics drafted him in the first round, I think the same year that Jamie Dixon got drafted, because Jamie would tell me stories of Michael Young. Do you know what else Jamie told me?
What?
When he showed up at Washington, I think they were the Washington Bullets then. He showed up at their training camp and Manute Bol was there. And he said Manute Bol would drive in a car with the front seat taken out because he was so tall. He was like 7'6". So he would drive a car from the back seat.
Well, what else would you do? How many people? You don't have much of your population's buying cars with 7'6" frame.
So he shows up at camp and there's Manute Bol driving around a car where they ripped the front seat out and he's driving from the back limits. Would that concern you at all?
That's a great story.
Isn't it?
It would a little bit. I mean, considering how far away he would be from the windshield.
Yeah, I would wonder, does the airbag work?
Great question, Bob.
I mean, how far does it have to extend?
I don't know. That's a hell of a question. What would you do with the airbags limits? I don't know.
You'd basically have to move the back seat like halfway up. You know that like little spot where you put your feet if you're sitting in the back seat?
Yeah.
That's where the actual seat for the driver would have to be for Manute Bol.
I do have
We should ask Bol Bol what his car looks like right now.
Yes, we should. I do have rooting interests here. Obviously, yours is North Carolina. I'm rooting for Robert Morris and St. Francis. St. Francis has a play-in game. And then, like I said, I root for Houston based on childhood. I root for Nate Oates at Alabama, which presents a little bit of a conflict because he took the University of Buffalo back to prominence, Bob.
Yes, so he did. That's how he got that Alabama job.
Yeah.
He did a great job there, and he's doing a good job there, too.
James Madison, I don't know why I root for them, but I do. And then there's teams and coaches that I root against. I don't like UConn and Hurley, although I respect him as a great coach. Not the biggest fan of Bill Self. I root against them. How about you guys? What are your rooting interests in this tournament, for and against? Limits, I know you're going for North Carolina and Robert Morris. Right?
Yeah, I want to see Robert Morris do well. I'm rooting for Michigan State, too. I've always had a soft spot for Tom Izzo.
Yeah, yeah.
January, February, Izzo, because they've been in March for, I can't remember how many years it's been, but just a huge amount of times, and his teams are always really fun to watch. Plus, the St. John's story is incredible. I want to see them go far and reach the Final Four.
Bob?
There are a lot of guys, a lot of teams I like to watch. I'm a big Clemson fan. I think that's a senior-laden team, as is Auburn. They have a lot of guys who've been around that program for a long time. I kind of like those stories.
St. John's is the other one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, Rick Pitino, you can say what you want about him, but as far as turning programs around, and listen, you can get all the best talent you want through NIL, but that doesn't mean you're going to go and win a tournament. You have to still have structure, roles defined, plays defined. Rick Pitino's a master of really all of that stuff. So that's a team that I would look to and say, watch out for them.
Me too. And my dad went to St. John's. So that
I harken back to the Big East days when St. John's and Lou Carnesecca. I always liked Lou Carnesecca. So maybe there's a soft spot in there for that team.
Here's a list of long shots that could win you some money. You ready for this, though, Limitless Wonder?
Yes, and I hope I get one of them right that I think you're thinking of.
Texas Tech is 40-1 right now. 40-1, they finished second in the Big 12, Bob. You should put some money on them, perhaps. Here's one I like. Because of the coach, and even though, you know, they haven't exactly overachieved through the years in the tourney, I think in this sort of role as a heavy underdog, at least to advance far, Gonzaga at 50-1? 50-1?
Waste your time and money on that one. Don't do it.
I mean, I'm talking only if you're looking for
if you want some outside, that's a long shot.
How about Wisconsin 65-1? How about that one?
They're not going to win it.
No, they're not. I'm only talking long shots, Bob.
I know, but you're wasting your money.
Well, not if you want to win a lot of money.
But they're not going to win, so you're wasting your money.
Wisconsin was one spot away from playing Robert Morris. RMU was the top 15 seed. If they would have flip-flopped with anybody to get on the 14 line, it would have been Montana. So,
Wisconsin is said to be strong at both ends of the court, Bob. They have a much higher ceiling than their record indicates. So there.
Well, go bet on them then.
How about Michigan loses to Wisconsin, or Michigan beats Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship, and Michigan ends up being a five?
Yeah, five seed. I was a little surprised by that.
I mean, Wisconsin out of three is 65-1. I'm only talking in terms of long shots.
What about Iowa State?
And you're not comprehending.
They once were in the top two of the country. Now yeah. They're a third seed.
Right.
They may be worth it because they've been a team that people thought could win it all at the beginning of the season.
This is like Notre Dame on the women's side. They might have been, well, they would have been a top four seed going into the tournament 3 weeks ago. And now they're a three seed. They're a three seed. So you want to jump on a team like that and see how far they can get, Bob.
Well,
are you more interested in the women's tourney or the men's? Women's for me, just
men's
like last
for me.
Year.
I still am going to look at the women's tournament, and there's some great players in that tournament. But I still, it'll be the men's with me.
By the way, are you in on Thursday? No. So I'll be at Rivers Casino.
I would like to be there with you as opposed to where I will be. So, yes, I would like to be there, but I'm not going to be there.
And Wednesday, we're at the Baseball Card Castle. Is that correct, Limit?
That's correct.
That's correct.
That's going to be unbelievable, Bob.